You are tuned to Radio Ukraine International. Next in line is Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
Pro-Russian separatists keep shelling the Ukrainian positions in Donbas along the whole contact line. Civilian population on the temporarily occupied territories suffered more losses this week. On Monday, it was informed that a deadly explosion in occupied Donetsk left one child dead and two more injured. The explosion occurred after children attempted to open a shell, which they had discovered in a sandpit on school grounds. As a result of the blast, one 10-year-old boy died, while two of his friends were seriously injured. Meanwhile, the headquarters of the Ukrainian intelligence service informed that the combined Russian separatist forces keep mining territories around their deployment areas, particularly near the temporarily occupied cities of Donetsk and Luhansk. Speaker of the Counter-Terrorism Operation Headquarters, Colonel Andriy Lysenko, said at his briefing held in Kyiv on Friday,
Наслідок проведення мінування припинено рух по дорогах та ділянках місцевості, які забезпечували
The mining of roads and areas around the occupied Donetsk and Luhansk deprived local dwellers of their traditional lines of communication. To suppress the growing discontent of local people who have to go through additional checks on roadblocks when crossing the contact line, the Russian occupation government is conducting a disinformation campaign and prepares to demonstrate the so-called liquidations of the fake sabotage reconnaissance groups as if sent by the Ukrainian forces, said Andriy Lysenko. According to Alexander Hug, OSCE Special Monitoring Mission Deputy Head, the military conflict in Donbas is far from being considered frozen. The conflict will be more unpredictable and may lead to more victims among civilians if sides continue to ignore the Minsk agreements, he said. It is important that we understand this. Recently, positions of the warring sides have approached the division line, even though the line itself hasn't moved much. Brutal fights are taking place here and there. This conflict provoked a lot of violence. Over this year alone, about 300,000 ceasefire violations were observed. This means that the conflict is far from being frozen. It is still in the active phase, and it is still quite unpredictable, Hook said. The White House is getting ready to offer the Kremlin a plan which envisages deployment of 20,000-ton contingent of UN peacekeepers in the war-torn Donbas. Earlier, while speaking before the UN Security Council and the UN General Assembly, President of Ukraine Petro Poroshenko expressed confidence that the UN peacekeeping mission in Donbas must be deployed all over its territory, which will cut off the supplies to pro-Kremlin militants. Meanwhile, the occupational administration in Crimea keeps using all sorts of pressure against the Crimean Tatars. The Russian police conducted searches in the apartments in the towns of Bakhchisarai, Stary Krym and Zarichna village in Simferopol district. According to Crimean Solidarity, the Human Rights Watching Organization, the law enforcers checked houses of Saitumer Saitumerov, Alimdar Bilalov and Eldar Kantemirov. None of them are known for any sort of political activity or involvement in political forces. The regular searches among Crimean Tatars have been a common procedure performed by the Russian police since Russian troops occupied Crimea in February 2014.
You are listening to Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.
The Foreign Ministry of Ukraine has welcomed the resolution by the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe, which recognizes in particular the responsibility of Russia for the implementation of the Minsk agreements. As we have reported, on November 8th, the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe has adopted a resolution in favor of Kyiv, which emphasizes Russia's responsibility primarily for ceasefire and the withdrawal of troops, armed groups, and military equipment, and urges it to rapid and full-scale implementation of Minsk. By adopting this resolution, the European Council's Committee of Ministers had also reiterated its commitment to full implementation of all the measures previously agreed upon in relation to the situation in Ukraine, particularly referring to the resolution of May 3, 2017 regarding Crimea and the city of Sevastopol, urging Russia to abide to the international humanitarian law and international human rights law and stop its repressive actions against the Crimean Tatar community. We welcome the consideration given to the necessity of protecting the civilian population suffering from the conflict caused by the Russian aggression against Ukraine, reads the MFA statement. The ministry has also supported the European Council's appeal to secure unhindered access to the temporarily occupied eastern Ukrainian territories for humanitarian organizations. We expect Russia to take respective measures to provide their access, particularly in non-government-controlled areas of Donetsk and Luhansk regions, reads the statement. The resolution by the Committee of Ministers mentions also Ukraine's achievements in the reforming process. President Petro Poroshenko has also welcomed the committee's resolution on his Facebook page, expressing his thankfulness for the support and underlining Russian responsibility in implementing Minsk mentioned in the resolution.
This is Radio Ukraine International and Ukrainian Diary.
On Wednesday, the 8th of November, Ukraine's National Opera marked its 150th anniversary. The first permanent opera company was formed in Kyiv in the summer of 1867 by former singer and entrepreneur Ferdinand Berger. He invited many talented performers to the new theater. The Kyiv City Council presented the company with a building. The 8th of November, 1867 witnessed the opera's first night. During its first years, the Kyiv Opera staged mostly works by Russian composers and sometimes European classics. In 1874, the opera Christmas Night by Mykola Lysenko, founder of the Ukrainian School of Classical Music, was staged. In 1896, the opera building was destroyed by a great fire. The City Council announced a design competition for the project of a new building of the Kyiv Opera House. The construction of the new opera house lasted for 4 years. The ceremony of grand opening took place on the 15th of September, 1901. The theater has preserved its initial exterior till the present day. The jubilee of the National Opera was marked by a gala concert. Anikore Khvinashvili, head of the National Opera Ballet Company, said,
представлені сили як опери, так балету, буде залучений хор, оркестр. І в цьому концерті будуть найкращі номери.
Performing in the concert were both opera singers and ballet dancers, as well as the opera orchestra. The concert included pieces of Ukrainian and world classics, including an abstract from the ballet dubbed The Forest Song, based on the famous poem by Lesya Ukrainka, outstanding Ukrainian poetess of the 19th-20th centuries. There were also a number of festive events taking place in Kyiv on this day, such as the presentation of a commemorative coin and a postmark dedicated to the opera's jubilee, said Anikore Khvinashvili.
with that, we end Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events that took place in this country over the past week.